What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Rosillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, and hard at work trying to get game day tweets back up, Shams Benamore. Shams, it's been a eventful day for you, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been a day, we could say. It's not even been 24 hours since everything has happened, but right now, luckily, we have such a great community that a pile of people have picked up and have been posting news and whatnot onto the Discord. So even though the site may not be up or functioning at the moment, all the community is working together to make sure that everyone's knowledgeable of all the starts and whatnot. So while it's not the greatest situation, I'm happy to be a part of such a great community that we're still basically in the know as much as we were the day before.
I wanted to shout out, I noticed Pink Pony Club and Nolan on the Discord were putting a number of those news articles in addition to you. I know there are probably other people who contributed. That was a quick scroll. And for those of you who are not in our Discord and are missing game day tweets, because I have seen from four separate communities complaining that it's down, then maybe you should get in the Discord. I mean, we've got a great community here at Keeping Carlson who are always trying to help each other out. But let's not dwell on that too much. I'm sure we could do a whole podcast ranting and raving about that. But let's get to the actual news. First off, there was another surprise healthy scratch. I feel like we dealt with one of these last week with Matthew Barzal. Now Jordan Kyrou is a healthy scratch for the Blues, who granted are currently up 2-0 on the Buffalo Sabres. But Kyrou has been their best skater in expected goals for percentage. He's followed by Nathan Walker and Nick Bjugstad. So I'm not sure how that sends a message to the team. Granted, I haven't been watching the Blues recently. So yeah, I expect him back next week or next game, but frustrating. What do you think, Shams?
Yeah, I forget, like, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically the quote was, I could have scratched a pile of people. These are the ones I did. So maybe, I'm not sure, it could have been something in the back. Maybe he said something, or maybe he's just the best, some sort of coach thought where they're just like galaxy braining it, be like, let's bench the best player to show that no one's safe. But either way, I don't think this is like a situation where players playing badly, this is a sign, like jump off the ship, cut them kind of thing. Like, of course, the team's in a sketchy situation, and the only reason, maybe it's harsh, a reason why they're winning right now is they're playing another team in a sketchy situation as Buffalo, who is greatly injured and is playing like people I've honestly have never heard of Osterlund. I was being told that he's like first round pick like about 5 years ago, maybe, but like just basically an injured Buffalo team. So yes, they're winning, but this is not one of those situations of, oh, they benched a player and they're winning, so they're going to continue benching the player. It's just a team in a weird situation, doing weird things. Hopefully they come out of it, but it's just kind of a take your lumps with basically any Blue player at this moment.
One thing that does kind of half raise an eyebrow for me is Kyrou's had issues with St. Louis before, like just maybe wanting out, maybe not wanting out. I'm not going to read too much into this. It could crop back up. The takeaway is St. Louis is bad. Apparently Buffalo's worse. Not much else you can do here but ride out the guys that you drafted in round 6 or 7, like Jordan Kyrou. On a more positive note, Roope Hintz is back for Dallas. He's back playing in the top 6 and on power play 1. They did score 2 power play goals early today against Anaheim. He did not factor into either of them, but was definitely on the ice for them. Another outjury, Cody Glass is back for the New Jersey Devils, which you may ask, why is that relevant to fantasy? Shams, why don't you tell me why is that relevant to fantasy?
So this is a weird situation, is that they kind of said it. I remember talking about like early when he got injured, it's like we saw Mercer on the third line, or like, why are you putting Mercer on the third line? And it's like, oh yeah, we wanted someone to trust on the third line because Glass was out. And then it got even weirder. I forget what happened. They moved him to like the wing. They had Timo Meier on the wing on the third line, and I forget who they had in the middle. It, like, basically, the lines were just blended so much up, I guess, that Keith just cares about his third line center so much that he basically developed the whole setup. But now the nice thing is with Glass back, we have just quote-unquote normal lines where we return to the Heischer, Meier, Mercer line, which was lighting it up for a good bit before the Glass injury. And then we have Hughes and Bratt together. And then in this situation, it's Nason instead of Palat, who's on the third line with Grislick and Glass. So really all it's doing is just allowing them to just kind of settle the bottom six so they could just have the top six be the top six instead of trying to spread out between three lines.
So maybe a bit of a boon for Dawson Mercer. Not much else going on. I wouldn't be adding Cody Glass in particular. Although New Jersey has a good streaming schedule next week, so maybe you add him for Monday, Wednesday. Next up, some news from last night's games. Tyler Bertuzzi scored a hat trick. What a great streamer hit, because I'm sure he was streamed in just about every league given the nice schedule that Chicago had this week. Also, with the big win last night, Spencer Knight is now tied for the top goalie in fantasy in Kakupful scoring currently. In another format I play in, he is actually ahead of Hellebuck because Spencer Knight has an assist and Hellebuck does not. Who on Chicago do you think is a must-own given that they have a two-game week next week? Like, okay, Bedard and Knight, obviously you're keeping. Frank Nazar, I think, is still running too hot and going to cool down, but you're probably keeping him too. Like, he's the third most ownable player there. What are you doing about Levshinov and Renzel, who seem to be trading off that power play one? What are you doing about Bertuzzi, Donato, Burakovsky, Mikheyev, Teravainen? Would you be keeping any of those guys for the two-game week next week, Shams?
So, tell me if this is blasphemy, but, like, do we even need to keep Nazar? Like, basically what we had is we had a three-point streak at the start of the season, and then couple of points in like late October, but he's been pointless for four games straight. And then in the last two games, he had two shots and one shot. Now, grant you, he had back-to-back five shots before. Now, like, you're going to know your league about like how shallow it is and like, or how deep it is. So maybe you know already, hey, I'm not going to find anyone that even has the potential to point. But like, we're talking about a second line center, power play participant, I assume he's power play one. Like, he has pedigree and whatnot, but like, if I'm in a tough matchup, I'm not even sure if I would even keep him, to be perfectly honest. And like, I might be a little flippant of just Chicago in general, but like, yes, Bedard, obviously you keep Knight. I wish I drafted him or like picked him up in shallow leagues when I could have. But after that, like, yes, there has been some streaks, but like, we were so happy about Teravainen, and then it turned into Burakovsky. Like, now it's Bertuzzi. Could it be like a pseudo Seattle situation where like, oh yeah, the guy that's the hot streak now, that's the one you drop because you know it's not going to repeat because it's going to be someone else. Like, I'm not sure who I'm keeping outside of the obvious top two, Knight and Bedard, for like, in the situations where I need to, yeah, I'm not even sure who I would keep on top of those.
Okay, so you are actually lower on Nazar than I am. I have been beating the drum, like even when he was going through that big hot streak, I was beating the drum that you shouldn't be keeping Nazar. He is a streamer. He is getting good deployment, but he's not doing enough with said deployment to, you know, keep his spot on your team. And I cooled off of that because of the amount of pushback I got from calling him a streamer 2 weeks ago. But maybe I should have kept pushing. I think I'd like to keep him. But like you said, if it's a close matchup, you got to let him go. You just got to hope you get him back if you want him. I am also interested in whoever's running power play one coming out of next week. I think they play Wednesday, Saturday next week. I haven't looked in the schedule in a while. But if you see for the Wednesday game, there's one guy on power play one, and it's the same guy on Saturday. I'd be looking to pick them up going forward. I know Rinzell wasn't great with it, but I think he got puck lucked a bit out of some power play points where he's actually was doing some good things, but just not getting the points. Everybody I've talked to says Levchinov should be even better for the power play and do more with it, and is their power play guy of the future. So if he takes it, I think you could see some real growth. And I want the guy playing with Bedard and Nazar on a power play. That seems like someone who's going to get me fantasy points. And defense, everybody wants defense. There's only 25, 30 defensemen that are definite owns, if that. So if you only have two Blackhawks PP1 defensemen, could be worth an ad. Next up, let's get to some breaking news. Dougie Hamilton left the Devils game today with an injury. He did not come out for the third period. We have no further details on this, but this would be a big blow. Also a big boost to Luke Hughes' stock as he becomes the surefire number one D on that team. Anybody else stand to gain from that?
I think it's just kind of one of those situations where everyone might just get a little bit more minutes because, like, say, like, I'm not sure off the top of my head how many games they have next week, but like your Brandon Dillons might be used a little bit more and then he might just stumble into points on even strength. But generally, yeah, it's going to be that power play spot because Hamilton has been holding it where we'll make the biggest change.
I do wonder if that's just a downgrade for the power play in general. Luke Hughes is great, but Hamilton brings a booming shot from the point that is kind of not something that Hughes has in his arsenal right now. So at the very least, the power play will look different, and it may take a couple games to get going. I actually think that low-key Brendan Dillon may benefit a bit if Hamilton's out longer term. He's going to get more minutes because of it and was already a borderline worthwhile hits and blocks streamer who has way more points this season than he should, like probably twice as many points as he really should this season. But as far as a ice time hits, block, shots streamer, Brendan Dillon, you could do worse going into next week. More recent IR stints. Michael Misa, who missed yesterday's game with a nagging injury, is now on the IR. I'm theorizing that this is a phantom stint like the Kraken did for Shane Wright 2 years ago. Misa has played 7 games. If you play your 10th, you burn the first year of your ELC and you can't go back to juniors. What the Kraken did for Wright, and I think this lines up perfectly with what they're doing for Misa, is he played like 7 games, then he got hurt, went on the IR, got sent down to the AHL for the maximum 2-week conditioning stint, which got him 5 games in the AHL, which he would not be allowed to play in if he weren't on a conditioning stint. Then he comes back up, plays his last 2 games for the big club, or one of his last 2 games for the big club. And then they send him off to Team Canada for World Juniors. He can be a captain, hopefully win a gold medal for them, get like 15 points in 7 games, and then send him back to the junior team. Saginaw's not very good this year, so I suspect they'd want to facilitate a trade like the Kraken did for Wright. Whole complicated business thing, but I can't see the Sharks burning an ELC year for Misa when they aren't even in a playoff spot currently, have been overperforming greatly by their shooting percentages, and Misa hasn't been a major part of it. You know, if he were playing every game and putting up point per game, they'd probably just burn the ELC. But yeah, that's my whole rant on this. I see you nodding, so I'm assuming you agree this is exactly what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Basically, on top of it all, it was like, I think they tried him early on in like the top six, and then I believe the last game, or at least it was before he got scratched, I forget, I was seeing him on the third line, which, you know, sure, yes, players need to be, you know, play to their ice time. They're not going to be gifted the big minutes, but like playing on a third line of the Sharks, not to be overly mean, it's not your average third line. So like, it just makes sense to just kind of put him in a situation. They already got Dickinson and a pile of young players kind of graduating right now. So it makes sense to have something like that set up to let him grow on his own and outside of the NHL as they're already fostering enough players.
One more injury for you. Sean Monahan was injured in last night's game. Sounds like he played through a lot of what it was. The coach said they don't expect it to be long-term, but we'll know more on Friday. Although they did call up Luca Delbelbelouz from the Cleveland Monsters. I'm assuming that is likely that Delbelbelouz is going to play on Saturday, but maybe Monahan's back for the Monday, Tuesday next week. Keep your eyes peeled as people are posting in our Discord. Hopefully you'll get some news tomorrow from their practice. Now to some goalie injuries. The Tristan Jarry injury that got mentioned by the Short Shifts crew on Tuesday, they now have given a timeline of 3 weeks. And I am going to give you my probably lukewarm at this point take on why you should not bother adding Seelovs. Seelovs is going to get today's game Thursday, of which he's already given up 3 goals to Washington, and he will get either Saturday or Sunday for a back-to-back. Then next week, they only play twice because they're playing in the Global Series in whichever country in Europe the Global Series is in. Most teams will split that. I kind of assume they're going to give Murashov a game in the International Series. I mean, if you're hopping on a plane over to Europe, I hope they're going to let you play, especially since he's Russian and it's closer to his home country. He may have some more fans there. Then the week after that, they come back from the Global Series and get that long layoff with the jet lag. And they play a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. So he's only playing one game there. And then the week after that is Thanksgiving week, where they play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And that means if you hold Arthur Seelovs for 3.5 weeks, you are getting 6 or 7 starts out of him. It's like not even worth holding for 6 starts in 3 weeks. And on top of that, a bunch of the nights that he would start, such as the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, and the day after American Thanksgiving, 30 teams play. So if you have more than one goalie, you're not playing him anyway. Are you interested in adding Seelovs after I went on that rant?
No, and on top of it, he's been playing fine, but like the last thing I'd want to do is like hold a guy like that, like, for weeks, and then, like, what happens if he gets shelled, and then you're just, like, you're using a roster spot? Like, you know, at least if you hold Nazar for, like, a game, he can't get you negative. Like, you could be holding a player and then end up with actual negative points. So that would be a thing that scares me, at least, like, yeah, I have, like, sure, stream him in, like, in a situation, like, say, if you have him already, I'll keep him into next week, and then see how your team's set up. Maybe you keep him for a game extra next week until you drop him. But like, yeah, I'm not looking at, you know, maybe in your extreme. I know every year I hear a person's like, yeah, but literally every goalie's taken, even the ones in the AHL. Like, sure, like those leagues, like, you know, your goalie starved leagues. But if like you have like options for like backup goalies and stuff like that in your waiver wire for streams, I would be kind of holding off on, like, rushing for Seelovs. He might be the best bet for a game or two, but, like, he's not one of those situations where you're picking up, like, the backup of, like, you know, a winning team, and then you're going to get, you know, 8 starts out of him in, like, 3 weeks.
Basically, I just am not interested in adding him is what it comes down to. Another guy I'm not interested in adding is Akira Schmid in Vegas. It came out today on Friedman's 32 Thoughts podcast that it was kind of a throwaway line talking about Team Canada's Olympic team. He randomly said that the word is Aiden Hill is out a few months. This is a guy who was listed as day-to-day and then week-to-week. We really don't know anything about the injury. So if you're an Aiden Hill owner and need an IR spot, you may need to be reassessing what your IR looks like because he may not be back for a few months, according to this. Hopefully we'll get some clarity tomorrow since now the cat's out of the bag. But it looks like the coach is intent on alternating Akira Schmid and Carl Lindbom. Lindbom is a high-end prospect goalie. Schmid is a 25-year-old, played on a number of teams. I think he's actually pretty good, but he's just clearly not winning teams over. There's also the Carter Hart wrench that's going to come around in December when he's off of his suspension and eligible to play. I don't know. I just don't want any part of this Vegas goaltending tandem. And maybe I will play the guessing game and predict who's going to start next and pick them up for a game. But yeah, it's ugly.
I don't like now in your points leagues, I'm 100% with you if the volume is going to be in doubt. But the nice thing is, though, it's like in your categories leagues, I would be more open. Like, I don't know off the top of my head, like, say if you could get like two starts out of him in a categories league, he's been kind of like keeping the goals against pretty low and like you're almost guaranteed a win. So like, you know, I'm in a league right now that I have like Dostal and Sorokin and A. Malka, which I thought was going to be a nice trio, but like I'm sitting at like one or two wins a week with my luck with those guys. But like, if you want like a guy that just like fills the wins column, maybe, but like, that's like a category of a category kind of situation. But yeah, in general, it looks like the volume's not there. So in your volume based leagues, I'm 100% with you. You know, I wouldn't be holding him as sacrosanct, but like, he can give you good games when he's playing.
Next up, we've got, I'm just going to go through a rapid fire set of outjuries, almost outjuries coming up, and you can talk about anybody who's interested into you. Sounds like in the next 4 days or so, some today actually, Keandre Miller returns for the Hurricanes today. He has an assist. He is probably their top defenseman. I don't know who's on the power play without Augustus Barron. Matt Zuccarello is not playing today, but a possibility for tomorrow. Patrick Kane is possible for tomorrow. Trocheck traveled with the team to Detroit, but is not playing tomorrow at least, but sounds like he's close. Eklund is skating and hopefully getting reevaluated tomorrow. Hopefully he's back soon. And then in the bit further off category, Benson is still a couple days away or a little bit away. Ryan Strome is working his way back. Yossi was back on the ice, but is probably a week or two away still. And Jared McCann is not quite ready yet. Anybody there you feel the need to talk about?
I got two that I'm interested in. First one is Patrick Kane. Is that right now, obviously, you'll be happy to have him, but I feel like what's happening now is that he will help even unlock. I know DeBrincat's been doing well, but to have him back with Kane, with Casper, will help that second line and help that power play even more because, like, yes, the team has a little bit more depth, but they're playing, like, non-stellar top six people to try to fill in that hole that Kane has. So that's going to be one of those situations where it's not just him coming back. I feel like it could be one of those things where it just floats the team above as well. It just kind of helps the people around him. And then the second one, this might be, you know, check me, this might be my homerism because I have him in Kekupful, but like, I'm not 100% sure that Zuccarello just walks in top line, top power play. Now, the reason I say that is that I can't believe I'm saying this, but like Marcus Johansson has been on a hot streak for like a week or two right now, getting points and playing pretty well with Kaprizov on that top line. So yes, there may be a situation where it gets like if it cools off and they need to do a mix up, I could see Zuccarello coming in. But we might be in a situation where a player got wally pipped where like probably he would have. You know, if he was healthy day one, he would have just been there and he probably would have stayed there. But with the offensive struggles and just kind of the team as a whole, that line has been working well, or at least that combination of Johansson and Kaprizov, that I would be curious to just kind of start seeing lines when they actually start playing and just not automatically assume that Zuccarello gets that prime deployment right away.
That's worth considering. I suspect he's going to take Johansson's spot. I saw a Twitter post that just described Marcus Johansson as the turnover machine. I guess he gave Carolina basically a free goal. I don't think he's the all-around guy you want there. I do think someone whose days are definitely numbered, though, is Vladimir Tarasenko on power play one. I think he's just going to get straight up replaced by Zuccarello. I can't imagine you leave Zuccarello's playmaking chops off of that top power play unit. With that, let's go to a quick break. This was a long first half, but we've still got some hot streaks for you when we come back.
The NBA season tips off, and so does DraftKings' newest fantasy game. DraftKings Pick 6 is the easiest way to play for big wins, with every possession giving you a shot at real money. Here's how to play. Just pick more or less on two or more stats and unlock the upside every game brings. Pick 6 is available in Texas, California, Missouri, and more. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. Don't just watch basketball. Cash in. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside in partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account, and you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's r-a-k-u-t-e-n, spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everyone. I've got a set of hot streaks for you. We normally do hot cold, but we were looking at it and it's just hot right now. We've got some good names for you that may not be 100% owned that you can look at as hot streaks. These guys are probably owned in most of your leagues, but Cutter Gauthier and Leo Carlson have been on fire the past couple games. Cutter has 13 points over his last seven games, with points in all of them, 2 6-shot games, 2 7-shot games. He's only shooting 16.9% and his on ice is 14.4. It's a little bit high, but that's not like crazy pants on head, 33%, like certain guys. Justin Brezzo was shooting 33% at one point this year. I think I looked at, was it Burakovsky maybe earlier today that I looked at? But someone else I looked at was shooting 33%. I'm like, oh, that's getting cut in half at least. Leo Carlson also is on a 7-game point streak with 12 points. His shooting percentage is 17.9. His on ice is 11.1. So again, maybe slightly over-indexed, but not crazy. I'd also like to point out those are now 8-game point streaks because they both have points tonight on two different goals, actually. Not to mention, Troy Terry and Chris Kreider are also super hot. Are the Ducks just a new offensive dynamo? They're 6th in shooting percentage, but hovering right around their expected goals mark. I think this may be moderately sustainable. Is this a buy-high possibility on some of these young Ducks?
We were talking about this on the Discord, I believe it was yesterday, and I think the big thing is that for a while, no one was really questioning the ability of a lot of these players. A lot of these players had like high draft pedigree, they showed some chops, but the big thing was that they were getting the Seattle treatment where it was just a mesh of 9 guys, 2 power plays, and like we just didn't know, especially with the new coach. And that scared people like me and many off of just like investing big. But now we have the benefit of knowing of A, they seem to be doing a top power play. And in every forward you mentioned there is on that top power play. And then that on top of not really playing the third line as much means that now we have like an actual normal top six where like you got your Gauthiers and even like Leo Carlson are not like together at all times, but both of them can still get good amount of ice time on even strength. That really allows them to flourish and show that with the ice time, with the skill, they can still perform. So with that buy high, people that are holding these guys might not realize, hey, like this is not like they might be, you know, thinking of last year, it's just a 50-50 power play. This is just them running hot and then be undervaluing them. So depending on the price, you might like, you're still going to have to pay a good amount because they are performing, but you might be able to like shave off some value there, even if you're paying at a high price. So it is definitely something to explore for, honestly, any of the power play one forwards I have strong interest in.
I agree with you. I'm not a big trader in general, but this is definitely a buy high opportunity, especially in some of your more casual leagues. Another sneaky power play one guy you may be able to add, I just checked and he is not available in any cupful leagues, but he may be available in leagues with shallow IRs. Michael Granlund was on power play one until he got hurt. Now, maybe power play one has just gone to the moon without him, so they aren't going to put him back on it, but that could be worth adding. I think he would be a really valuable asset. I mean, you just saw what he did for the Sharks last year, even. That's a potential add. From current Ducks to former Ducks, Trevor Zegras is also red hot. He's got 10 points in his last six games played. He's shooting a bit more too, around three shots per game. Earlier in the season, he had a bunch of points on like 1 and 2 shot games. His ice time is all 18 plus. He's 20 plus in some games. He's shooting 14.3%, only 9% on ice shooting percentage. The IPP and power play IPP are a bit hot. He's factored in on 88% of goals that he's on the ice for. So that'll come down. I can't really find a reason to dislike him other than his somewhat sketchy line mates and the fact that Philly seems to like shuffling lines and doing the top nine type deployment thing. I do definitely like the current Ducks from last segment better than Zegras. What do you think? Do you like Zegras better than any of the power play one Ducks?
I think we're in the same boat that all of the Ducks are probably better. At the very least, they're more set up for success than Zegras. There might be situations where Zegras might be able to eclipse what, like a subset of them, but this is where, you know, hey, we're here giving advice, but I'll have to say that I was wrong. I drafted Zegras late, and then I caught him, like, I think it was like after like the second or third game, because like it was one of those situations with our scoring system is that like you really need to get shots, and like if you're only going to get an assist and nothing else, it doesn't really move the needle. So the fact that he was getting like a cardio session, nothing to start in the first game, and then like an assist and maybe a shot in those first few games, he was one of the people I cycled out pretty early. But the big thing that really hits with me is that, yes, his line mates are going to be sketchy because there's not many great, like, offensively known players other than, like, Mishkov, which is in his own situation. But based on, like, Rick Tocchet, they seem to be just, like, one and one together of just, like, a mind meld of liking each other. They're putting them in places to succeed. And honestly, like, yes, the IPP is not going to be, like, you know, 80 to 100%, but, like, he is there to be the playmaker. So he's going to be put into situations that are in offensive situations where they need to get points, and they're going to try to give him the puck because he's the prime person to make it happen. So his participation may be higher than what you think of an average player. So it's one of those situations of like looking at like Chris Kreider's shooting percentage. Yes, most people don't have that high of a shooting percentage, but if you're parked in front of the net, you're going to have a higher shooting percentage. So I think while some of the underlyings might not be great, the ice time, the coach's trust, and the system that he's being put into makes me in a situation where I wish I didn't cut him, and I would have loved to have him on my team.
I definitely am feeling the FOMO of I chose not to pick up Zegras, and I chose not to pick up Troy Terry in a league where I had the chance to. And both those guys would be one of the some of the better guys on that roster of that team. So yeah, always frustrating. Early season, it's really hard to tell reality from mirage. That's just how it goes sometimes. And to stay on brands, let's talk about another former Duck. Granted, this ancient Duck. Corey Perry, what year is it? He's got 8 points and 21 shots in 8 games played since coming back from injury. He was recently elevated to power play one. By the way, Corey Perry is in Los Angeles now, in case you didn't realize that, because he's played on a bunch of different teams since he left the Ducks 5 or so years ago. He had an assist on the power play last game. Unfortunately, because he's 40 years old, he doesn't really hit or block anymore, and the time on ice is down in the 14-minute range. His even strength line mates also aren't great. This one kind of feels like a mirage. interesting ad for streamer weeks for sure. And also, they are currently running a 5-forward power play that does not include Kuzmenko or Laferriere, who I think both could do better than Corey Perry on that unit. So I guess enjoy it while it lasts. Do you trust Corey Perry?
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations of just like, if you want to roll up the dice and just try to like, you know, if it's like a Sunday savior or a situation where, because while he doesn't get the prime deployment, like normally in even strength, he gets put in situations. I forget which game it was. They needed a, like a pull the goalie situation of like to make a 6-on-5. If I remember correctly, he was the one that came off the bench to join in on the offensive threat. So like, obviously not to the extent of Zegras, but he is getting played in like that. Hey, let's bring him up to make him a little bit more of a, like, we need an offensive boost. Let's, you know, double shift him. Well, maybe double shift is a strong word because he's not getting a lot of ice time in the first. But you know what I mean? Like, he's getting put in those situations, but, like, he's not, like, a person I trust. So, nothing more than, like, a game or two here. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they play tonight, if the point streak ends this week and we, you know, have to talk about a bit of cold streak in, you know, a week or two from down the road. So, like, cross your fingers if you have to, but if you have anyone of, like, any more sustainability, I'd probably be taking them over Perry.
You do have a good point on the Sunday savior. LA plays Sunday this week, and they play Pittsburgh on the back end of a back-to-back for Pittsburgh, meaning they're probably facing Burashov's first NHL start. That could be an interesting Corey Perry ad. I think less so than being the offensive guy, I think they're putting him out there to wreak havoc in front of the net, the Chris Kreider type of role. So I think that is valuable. And if he's the only guy on the team who really does that, he may just get all of the opportunities to. I'm pretty sure that's something Laferriere does pretty well too, though. But it's always nice to have a couple wingers who do that. Last but not least, we have a rookie hot streak for you. Matthew Wood has been playing on the third line with Marchessault on the power play. He has 5 points in the last 4 games, not including tonight. 2 of them are on the power play. He's not getting a ton of ice time, but it's at least someone you should be aware of for streaming purposes. I think he's watchlist worthy. I would love to see him get, you know, 17, 18 minutes a night on the top line, but that's currently not happening. What do you think of Matthew Wood, Shams?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it's just weird, like, he's performing, like, he's kind of in a, like, he's played with bunting at even strength. Sometimes they cycle out at different centers. So, like, yeah, I know bunting, like, you could do worse on the third line. And also, he's showing enough of an ability here that this is kind of one of those situations where, like, maybe I might be overzealous if, like, he overtakes Evangelista to play with Forsberg on the top line. I might be streaming it in, or maybe say, like, say if it's like a busy night and you have like a person that like you're not entirely happy with, maybe you like pick Wood up as a streamer and then you like bench like a Buchnevich or something that's playing on a Saturday and then like give him a shot and then maybe you catch fire. But like, this is one of those situations of just like, hey, this player's doing something, he has some pedigree, and then like maybe that could be something parlayed into more. And in that case, I would be more interested in him in your deeper leagues, like a cutful level. In your shallower leagues, you're probably better off, you know, getting those people that already have the top line, top power play situation instead of prospecting.
I agree that he's basically streamer level at this point. Speaking of which, Nashville had a great streamer week this year. Congrats to the 18% of Kakupfa leagues where someone actually added him to stream. Good job on you guys for being ahead of the curve. A little bit on his prospect pedigree, since I do some prospect stuff. He's 20 years old, was the 15th overall pick in 2023. He was point per game at the University of Minnesota last year, turned pro for this year, and had a couple games in the AHL before his call-up. He profiles as a strong offensive talent with a wicked shot and some good playmaking chops, but his skating needs improvement. He's arguably Nashville's top prospect. I'd say think like Jason Robertson, although I don't think he has 80 to 100 point upside. I think he's more in the maybe the 65 to 80 point range. Dauber Prospects lists him as an 8.5 out of 10 with 8 out of 10 certainty, which is really solid, both ceiling and floor. Victor Nuno's Fantasy Hockey Life player cards have him as a 6.74, which means he's a very high likelihood of being an above average contributor. Looking at the list form of both of those, he basically ends up in the same tier as a bunch of like your A minus B plus type prospects. He's not really a crown jewel, but he'd be a top, you know, two or three prospect in just about any system and looks to be one of the, you know, top six players coming out of his draft class, playing in the top six, not one of like the top six players from that class. That was poorly worded. With that, we are out of time and managed to keep this shift relatively short despite all the info we had for you. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, the rest of the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. You can check out the sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.